You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 26th, 2021. This story is going to get bigger. It's not getting a lot of attention now, but it's going to grow. The Iranian foreign minister, Zarif, claimed in recently leaked audio that John Kerry, while serving as Secretary of State during the Obama administration, was giving the Iranians intel information involving more than 200 Israeli operations in Syria. Now, he's also been previously accused of colluding with Iranian leaders to undermine the Trump administration. But at the time Obama was in office and John Kerry was his Secretary of State, he was, quote, according to one foreign policy group, Democrat Alliance, ratting out Israeli covert operations. No, we need to have a very close look at that, get more answers. And here's another story that's surfacing, and yet I don't know where it's going to go. We've had this raised numerous times. It involves the death of a Democrat National Committee worker shot dead 2016 in D.C., Seth Rich. If you recall, some commentators talked about that he was killed as part of a conspiracy because he was feeding information about the DNC to WikiLeaks founder and giving information and maybe some of the 2016 presidential campaign DNC emails. His own family said it's just a conspiracy theory. That's all it is. Well, the FBI has now produced 68 pages. The investigative summary, the preliminary investigative summary, appears to suggest that someone could have paid for his death. Someone whose name was redacted took his personal laptop. They're still looking at it. You think it will prove to be some kind of conspiracy, or was something else in play? And we're getting more information out of China slowly that scientists studying bat diseases at China's maximum security lab in Wuhan were engaged in a massive project to investigate animal viruses, and they were working with leading military officials. Those are documents obtained by the Mail on Sunday, the British publication. They've been investigating this for some time. One leading Chinese scientist apparently had found 143 new diseases in the first 3 years of that project. But the chief virologist overseeing all of this said, no, I don't know of any military work being involved. I ask you, do you believe that statement? Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing the Justice Department launching another investigation, this time into the Louisville Jefferson County Metro Government and the Louisville Police Department. This involves, of course, the death of Breonna Taylor a year ago, shot by a Louisville officer in her apartment while they were executing a search warrant. And, of course, he had just recently announced last week they're going to carry out a similar investigation of the Minneapolis Police Department following the conviction of Derek Chauvin. Dr. Fauci believes the CDC will soon tell you don't need a mask outside. He thinks they will say that. He said that would be common sense. But what does common sense mean now with the rest of all these folks? Dateline Chicago, it's a Monday, 24 shot in Chicago over the weekend, 3 fatally. But Chicago, look at the numbers out of NYC, New York City, weekend bloodshed. 31 shot in New York City, leaving 6 killed. As one said, welcome to the city of violence. There's a Florida family now being indicted for selling bleach as a miracle cure for COVID-19. They were selling it and apparently generated more than $1 million. It's a scam and they're going after them. Not many were watching the Oscars last night. Understandable. They had less than 10 million viewers. Normally it's double that or more. The low numbers coming in, even as some news was made, Chloe Zhao became the first woman of color, second woman ever, to win the Academy Award for Best Director. I want you to hear more from her coming up, because you probably did not see it last night. I want you to hear from her in this next hour and what she has to say about China and what China did reference to her at the Oscars.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A woman
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hey. What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, 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 get down, get down. Get down!
That's the way it went down last week. Within 11 seconds, as an officer arrives at the scene where he's been told there's a problem, we've got some woman out here with a knife trying to stab and hurt people. That was one of the calls to 911. Supposedly, the one he shot, Makia Bryant in Columbus, Ohio, was the one who made the phone call for 911 and then took a knife and went outside and either started extracting revenge or, in her way, maybe trying to protect it. It's hard to know. There's a lot still to be sorted out. There was a second 911 call, but just as police arrived, well, they said, oh, you're here, thank you, and they just hung up. I still haven't seen the police officially say that the first call came from Makia Bryant or from that household. But the bottom line is, for the officer, he arrives on the scene. All he's been told, we got a 911 call of a disturbance and a knife might be involved. And when he arrives, he sees these young ladies. Hard to tell, of course, at that point how old they are. Makia ended up being 16. She has pushed one woman to the ground who was a 19-year-old, I think, and then was turning on another who was 20 or 21 and had her up against between her and a van, and she was raising a knife on her. And that's when the officer saw it and started shouting, "Hold, you know, down, down, down," and he saw the knife being raised. He thought in a moment the knife is going to be sunk into that person's chest, their face, or whatever, and he fired four times, stopping the 16-year-old. And, of course, it's going to be questioned over and over again. Did he do it right? Did he have proper training? And you've heard people all the way from those on The View, women who know nothing about guns, suggesting couldn't he just have fired a shot into the air? Or you get others saying, well, you know, they shoot in the leg. And others saying, well, he could have also hit the girl he was trying to save, but he didn't. And you got others still saying that officers shouldn't be carrying their guns and walking up like that because that's the first thing they're going to do. He could have tried a taser. Not at that point. If the situation is escalated with a weapon that could harm or kill someone else, the officer cannot rely on the taser. They've got to escalate just as the event's been escalated. Now, you might think many Democrats think the officer was way out of line. They aren't. Many Democrats, one, they're willing to say, well, let's just see what actually happens. But one in particular I'm going to bring to your attention. This is Congresswoman Val Demings, a Democrat of Florida. Congresswoman Demings was on Sunday's CBS Face the Nation. Now, she is currently the representative for Florida's 10th District Congressional District. That covers most of the western half of Orlando, much of the area around the resort parks, Winter Garden. Born one of seven children, born to a poor family in 1957. Her father was a janitor, her mother was a maid. She became interested in a career in law enforcement after serving as a school, part of the school patrol at the junior high school. She ended up going to Florida State, got a degree in criminology, graduated from college, did serve as a state social worker for about 18 months, went back and got a master's degree in public administration at Webster University, Orlando. In 1983, she applied for a job with the Orlando Police Department. Her first assignment, patrolling Orlando's west side. And then in 2007, she was appointed the chief of that Orlando Police Department, becoming the first woman to lead that department. And from 2007 to 2011, she oversaw a 40% decrease in violent crime. So the question being raised of her, with her background as a police officer in the street, but also a police commander and then a police chief, the officer that shot down Makia Bryant, was he doing what he should have been doing? Well, when she answers, she's speaking from experience.
When I served as a police chief, what I prayed for daily was that my police officers would respond as they are trained to do. Now, after every incident, we would have to go back and look at our policies and make sure that the policies met the moment. But look, I worked as a social worker with foster care children. So it's a sad moment for me. But I also was a patrol officer who was out there on the street having to make those split-second decisions.
Again, that's Congresswoman Val Demings, Democrat of Florida. And the reason I included her prior work as a social worker, because you heard her say it then too. She said, I worked as a social worker with foster care children. Makia Bryant was there as a foster child in the home where she was staying. So she knows the difficulties in dealing and helping these kids that are coming from either a family that's broken or for whatever reason they're in foster care. And she also knows as an officer in the street, it's very easy for folks to sit back and second guess you on things. But when things start coming unglued, what are you going to do? And again, when police hear this 911 call and then how they transmit the information and tell the officer what we need to respond to, they're reacting to what they have on the 911 call. So listen.
Tonight, the city of Columbus releasing two 911 calls that prompted their response Tuesday afternoon.
Ma'am, you need to talk to me.
We got these grown girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us, trying to put our hands on our grandma. Get here now.
Get here now. Somebody's trying to stab us. Now, that may or may not have been Makia Bryant. I've seen more and more information that it probably is, but I'm still looking for official confirmation. So it doesn't really make much difference, except in the fact that if she thought they were being attacked, then she went out to stop it, but no one else apparently had any weapon. And the officer arrives. He sees what's unfolding in front of him. And here's the point where it's really valuable for anyone to have spent time on the streets dealing with these situations, then to serve as a commander over officers, and then to serve as a head of a police department. And this is, again, a Democrat congresswoman, Val Demings of Florida. And here's her view as to what you see on the video and how folks rush to judgment compared to what the officer saw when he arrived.
Now everybody has the benefit of slowing the video down and seizing the perfect moment. The officer on the street does not have that ability. He or she has to make those split-second decisions, and they're tough. But the limited information that I know in viewing the video, it appears that the officer responded as he was trained to do, with the main thought of preventing a tragedy and a loss of life of the person who was about to be assaulted.
And again, she makes it clear, she's looking at the video like we are, but she also has her history to draw on. And her last statement, let me read it to you again. The limited information that I know in viewing the video, it appears that the officer responded as he was trained to do, with the main thought of preventing a tragedy and a loss of life of the person who was about to be assaulted. And what did we hear last week from many? Mostly on the left, mostly true progressives, most of those who always say cops are always looking to kill a black person. You cannot judge police departments on that blanket endorsement, that blanket indictment, I should say, any more than a blanket indictment against, well, most black people might steal or cheat. That is ridiculous. You don't do that. You shouldn't. And nor should you take this attitude. And until you are out in the street yourself and you're dealing with it and you're facing it, you continue to either learn and be educated, or maybe, I'll quote Maxine Waters here, as she referred to Congressman Jordan, shut your mouth. I don't really believe that. I think you're still entitled to have your opinion, obviously. But it helps to have some education, or at least based upon understanding of what's really involved. Everybody can. I could have made that putt at the Masters. I wouldn't have missed that putt. I could have thrown the touchdown that would have won the football game. But you didn't. You weren't there. And could you have done it under pressure? It's one thing to train. And I got to tell you, I've been in some training exercises with officers at various stages, and then some additional training. And there are times when your heart's pounding and running, and I'm not going to be killed. I know that. But I want to do things right just the same. And we've had too many on the left just continue to make excuses and allowance and allowances, and finally they're realizing this doesn't work. The mayor of Portland, Oregon, in his most urgent appeal, Mayor Ted Wheeler, saying we got to put a stop to these acts of violence we're having in our community. There was a structure set on fire during a riot in Portland, Oregon, April 17. Now, Black Lives Matter leaders, I want to make sure you hear this. Black Lives Matter leaders are denouncing what is continuing. And there's another group called Don't Shoot Portland, describing itself as a black-led human rights nonprofit. And they say Wheeler's making a dangerous call to action to turn community members into vigilantes to defend their property, because he did ask for residents to help unmask the people behind the continued violence. He said, clearly, rabble-rousers are showing up sometimes at events in their cars. He said, if you see a license plate, get it to police. He said, our job is to unmask them, arrest them, prosecute them. He said, I want to make it clear. I'm not getting anybody to get violent, but if you can safely film it or photograph it, do it. Don't engage in anything. Stay non-confrontational, non-violent. So he's trying to say we need to get a control on this thing. And yet, in the Seattle Police Department, there was Portland. Now Seattle, you know, they've had so much trouble. Remember when they basically just let anarchists take over a section of the city until they decided to go after the mayor's house. And then she said, okay, that's it. It's over. 66 police officers separating so far. from the Seattle Police Department. A police staffing crisis is coming, they say, and there's no end in sight. There's also a police officer that's been saying that what's happening in New York City, we're getting more and more that are going to walk away from the job. He said what's coming is like a freight train and it can't be stopped. Who wants to be an officer? And again, Congresswoman Demings, she knows what they're facing.
They wear the badge, and I used to do this as a chief, over their heart, because they have to have the heart for the job. We want them to have the mind for the job so that they will make good decisions, but we want them to have the heart for the job as well. And I also remind them, remember, you are well trained. Utilize the training that you have, but also remember that as human beings that you're dealing with, and always have compassion for the community in which you represent. And, you know, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers in this nation are good people who go to work every day to protect those, protect and serve our communities. I remind them of that. Always stand on the right side, speak up, and be professional, and do the job that you're paid to do.
75% more officers are leaving the NYPD department than they did in 2020. And again, Congresswoman Val Demings, a Democrat, speaking some very candid truths, and I thank her for it. That's why I wanted to give it extra time. Let's go to the Oscars. I want you to hear from one of the winners last night.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
When I was growing up in China, my dad and I used to play this game. We would memorize classic Chinese poems and texts, and we would recite it together and try to finish each other's sentences. And there's one that I remember so dearly. It's called the Three Character Classics. And the first phrase goes, 人之初性本善. People at birth are inherently good. And those six letters had such a great impact on me when I was a kid, and I still truly believe them today. Even though sometimes it might seem like the opposite is true, but I have always found goodness in the people I met everywhere I went in the world. So this is for anyone who has the faith and the courage to hold on to the goodness in themselves and to hold on to the goodness in each other, no matter how difficult it is to do that. And this is for you. You inspire me to keep going. Thank you. Thank you.
That was Chloe Zhao, won Best Director, Best Picture, second film directed by a woman to win a Best Picture Oscar, first woman of color, and second woman ever to win the Oscar for Best Director, Nomadland. She's born in China, as you heard her reference. State media in China, not celebrating, trumpeting what she did. There was even censorship. They basically were restricting anything about her winning Best Director. Censored it all the way around in China. Why? Well, because she was talking about human rights, basically, and belief in each other. This is what you would expect from China, right? She's talking about it growing up as a child and trying to learn and working with her dad and finding the good in people. That's a big win for her, but China just wants to dismiss her. And there's another filmmaker, Anthony Giacchino, who won that Oscar for a documentary short film, Colette. And in the process of his remarks, he was also saying, listen, the reason we do these films, these documentaries, is to remember the memory, courage of such as the innocent children of Yemen, protesters in Hong Kong. Well, the Chinese Communist Party also imposed a blackout on that. And over the nomination of his other movies, dealing with documenting the Hong Kong protests or another piece being done. Hollywood knows this, yet they're trying to get into the Chinese market all the time. We've talked about that previously. And don't forget, Disney, under then-CEO Bob Iger, ESPN forbade journalists from discussing Hong Kong's pro-democracy movement for fear it might jeopardize the studio's cozy business relationship with the communist dictators. And Disney, which owns ABC, still not commenting on reports of systemic rape against minority women carried out in China. And in fact, of course, China partnered with Disney to make the live-action Mulan. No, they want the money. They're going to turn their back on anyone of any value. Well, you're saying that, of course, that only happens in China. It doesn't happen here. Not so fast, my friend. I pointed out the other day that Facebook, or rather YouTube, sent me a message. I violated one of their standards. That was a first strike against me. A second one, they were going to shut us down for a period of time. A third one, they would shut us down longer. And if I go beyond that, you're out forever. Now, I didn't do anything that big. I'm not claiming I was breaking anything big. I was really just, it was the interview of Sidney Powell. We'd had her on before we even started the YouTube channel. But then when we had her on last, we put it up on YouTube channel, and suddenly the red flags went up. And they continue on some others. I want to get into that story before we wrap this hour. But before, I want to go back to the Oscars and let you hear remarks from Tyler Perry. He got a humanitarian award last night. Listen, learn, take to heart.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, when I set out to help someone, it is my intention to do just that. I'm not trying to do anything other than meet somebody at their humanity. Like, case in point, this one time, I remember I was, maybe it was about 17 years ago, I rented this building and we were using it for production. And I was walking to my car one day and I see this woman coming up out of the corner of my eye and I say, she's homeless, let me give her some money. Judgment. I wish I had time to talk about judgment. Anyway, I reach in my pocket and I'm about to give her the money. She says, excuse me, sir, do you have any shoes? It stopped me cold because I remember being homeless and having one pair of shoes and they were bent over at the heels.
Those are the words of Tyler Perry last night at the Oscars. He's a director, of course. He was given the humanitarian honor. And then he started telling that story, and I'll pick up the story here in a moment. Perry, as many of you probably know, now is a big movie producer. He has a studio in Atlanta. It's a massive complex. They hire a lot of people. And when all the push came to punish Georgia because of the new election law, which, quote, supposedly was going to disenfranchise and return to Jim Crow days, keeping blacks from voting, which is so far from fact, it's not laughable because some folks believe it. And when the MLB decided to pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta, saying, well, we'll teach Georgia that. Well, they're teaching and hurting many black businesses and folks who are looking to work and make money. They're not hurting the state when you get down to it. When you had some other movie companies say, well, we'll go to Louisiana and make movies instead of Georgia. Or when you had Delta, who's based there, and Coca-Cola saying, this is wrong, maybe we need to have a boycott. Well, how about a boycott against Delta or Coca-Cola? I have a relative who sent a picture, always been a Coca-Cola fan. Shows in on some video he sent me, threw it in a trash can and started drinking Pepsi, which he doesn't like, but he's not going to drink that other thing. And I told him, forget the Pepsi, just go to Jack, be done with it. But the pressure was on because supposedly folks are going to die in the voting line. They weren't going to be able to get any food or any water while they waited, as if they're going to wait a day and a half to get to vote. And they are allowed to bring their own food and water, and poll workers can help provide food and water. They just can't have anyone representing a candidate or one of the campaign issues doing it. So there's no electioneering within a certain distance of the polling place. That's standard law. And Georgia's had an ID card requirement previously. All they did this time is add it for absentee. If you go on it, absentee ballots into your house, we need to see ID, who you are, and where you live to verify it. That's all. That's a change. Plus, you say you can't afford it, we will give you a free ID. And many black Republican legislators and conservatives said, the Democrats think that we're just so inept, we can't go get our own picture ID. It's mocking black Americans and humiliating them, in my opinion. But I'll leave that to those who are directly affected. That would be the black Americans to make that decision. But here's Tyler Perry. When everybody's pulling out, he said, I'm not going to move my studio. I'm going to stay right here. I got people I'm supporting. We're going to help out. I told you the other day, this guy has always impressed me in so many different ways. And this just opened it up entirely for me again. You heard him say he was going to tell a story, and he talked about judgment. He said, I wish I had time to talk about judgment. I hope to hear him sometime talk about judgment. I think it'd probably be something we all need to listen to, because how fast do some of us issue a judgment on somebody by the way they look, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they smell? Very easy to pass judgment, especially if you consider that they might be beneath you to begin with. But Tyler Perry last night, as he began to accept this, and he kind of touched a little bit upon his life, as you heard him say that, you know, I'm going to let you hear more in a moment, but he said he was born in poverty. I mean, right now the guy has he raised $5 million to budget and fund his first movie, Diary of a Black Woman. He is now ranked, I think, as one of the, by Forbes magazine, one of the top 100 or higher than that wealthiest in the nation. But when he first started, his home life was difficult. I mean, he was growing up in those tough times. He's admitted he's a Christian, does not hide that. Good friends with Janet Jackson, Will Smith, Oprah. Yeah, he has a 17-acre estate in Buckhead, Atlanta. That's a very rich place, but his money, he earned it. He wasn't collecting to give to black organizations. It was for him and his business. So be it. It's his money. He's entitled. And yet, back to his story last night as he accepted this award and talked about the woman who came up to him and was wanting some kind of help. Let's pick it up again.
Anyway, I reach in my pocket and I'm about to give her the money. She says, excuse me, sir, do you have any shoes? It stopped me cold because I remember being homeless and having one pair of shoes and they were bent over at the heels. So I was like, yeah. So I took her into the studio. She was hesitant to go in, but we went in. We go to wardrobe and there are all these boxes and everything around the walls and fabrics and racks of clothes. So we ended up having to stand in the middle of the floor. So as we're standing there, we find some shoes. We help her put them on. I stand up. I'm waiting for her to look up. And all this time she's looking down. She finally looks up. She's got tears in her eyes. She said, thank you, Jesus. My feet are off the ground.
That's pretty strong, isn't it? Born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Three siblings. And Perry once said that his father's answer to everything was to beat it out of you. As a child, he said at one point even attempted suicide just to escape his father's beatings. But his mother said, and made a point to take him to church every week. He found a refuge, he said, there, and then began to see that I don't have to go that way. He did not complete high school. He did later earn a GED. In the early 20s, watching an episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show, he said he heard someone talk about the sometimes therapeutic effect the act of writing can have. So he started doing that to apply his case. So he's very rich, very powerful. And yet he was caught by this woman who was in need. And you heard him say that she was suddenly felt that she had been lifted up by God. Perry says all he was doing is relating and living out the message he had from his mother.
She finally looks up. She's got tears in her eyes. She said, thank you, Jesus. My feet are off the ground. In that moment, I recall her saying to me, I thought you would hate me for asking. I'm like, how can I hate you when I used to be you? How can I hate you when I had a mother who grew up in a Jim Crow South in Louisiana, rural Louisiana, right across the border from Mississippi, who at 9 or 10 years old was grieving the death of Emmett Till. As she got a little bit older, she was grieving the death of the Civil Rights Boys and the little girls who were in the bombing in Alabama. She grieved all these years. And I remember being a little boy and coming home, and she was at home, like, what are you doing at home? You're supposed to be at work. She was in tears that day. She said there was a bomb threat, and she couldn't believe that someone wanted to blow up this place where she worked, where she took care of all these toddlers. It was the Jewish Community Center. My mother taught me to refuse hate.
To refuse hate. How many mothers or fathers are teaching their children that, as opposed to saying, they're different than you, they represent the man, they represent wrong, they represent the hate, hate, hate. Again, it's his mom's legacy he carries. Listen.
My mother taught me to refuse hate. She taught me to refuse blanket judgment. And in this time, and with all of the internet and social media and algorithms and everything that wants us to think a certain way, the 24-hour news cycle, it is my hope that all of us would teach our kids, and not only to remember, just refuse hate. Don't hate anybody. I refuse to hate someone because they are Mexican or because they are black or white. Or LGBTQ.
I want you to hear another clip of him. We'll do it after the break coming up because I don't want to short it. You heard the applause there when he started saying, you know, not to hate someone because they're different color or different sexual orientation. Basically going back to what he was saying earlier, just look at people where they are. You know how many times when you're out somewhere, and I'm guilty of this too, you're so preoccupied with what you're trying to do and where you're going. You got things, I got this, I got to do that, you know. And someone over there is obviously suffering. They're not looking for a handout. They're not looking, they're just not, that's not them. But at that point, they're in some real need. And if something goes wrong with them on that point, it could be a snap point for them. You don't know the burdens everyone around you is carrying. We couldn't, but maybe if we are a little bit more open to not hating and not prejudging, it might help all of us. All of us. I include myself. We'll continue with Tyler Perry in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It is my hope that all of us would teach our kids, and not only to remember, just refuse hate. Don't hate anybody. I refuse to hate someone because they are Mexican or because they are black or white or LGBTQ. I refuse to hate someone because they are a police officer. I refuse to hate someone because they are Asian. I would hope that we would refuse hate. And I want to take this Jean Herschel Humanitarian Award and dedicate it to anyone who wants to stand in the middle, no matter what's around the wall, stand in the middle, because that's where healing happens. That's where conversation happens. That's where change happens. It happens in the middle. So anyone who wants to meet me in the middle, to refuse hate, to refuse blanket judgment, and to help lift someone's feet off the ground, this one is for you too. God bless you, and thank you, Academy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, in the midst of all the woke and cancel culture we have in Hollywood, there's Tyler Perry standing up and saying, I follow my mother's lesson. She taught me to refuse to hate. When he was going through the list, of course, he did get the applause, and as soon as he mentioned our police officers, it quickly died off. Now, I'm not going to make judgment as to how that happened, and he also added Asians after that. No one applauded at that point, but so I'm not trying to make that big of an issue, but at the same time, I mean, he made it very clear. You just don't hate because someone is doing something that maybe someone else did wrong and violently wrong and led to the death of someone that shouldn't have. Which leads us to this piece of out of the Federalist the other day. I'd referred to it briefly, and I was kind of watching to see where it was going to go. I told you that last week we got a notice from YouTube that they had flagged one of my pieces, our pieces we put up that Quentin and I put together. It was the interview with Sidney Powell, who was at one time fighting the case, or still is, fighting cases over the election that boxes were tampered with, the ballot machines weren't right, is all of this. And, of course, many have been said, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's making up conspiracy theories. And yet there are many, many that believe exactly what she says. Now, we'll have her back. I don't know if we'll get it on YouTube, because if they're going to pull it down, I'll just use this forum. It's just as well for me. We just had just recently started YouTube. That's why that last interview went up. And my response to them was, first of all, I wasn't advocating anything. I just had her on, and I let my guests speak their mind. And I raised questions. I put it to her that basically that many don't think she's, you know, knows what she's talking about. Let her refute it. But just the fact that I was airing it, and I said, it's First Amendment rights. It's something called First Amendment. And I sent the email back to as to where it came from YouTube, and then it gets kicked back, no such address. In other words, you can't get back to them like that. So Joy Pullman is a contributor, editor for The Federalist, and she had put out a piece the other day titled, There's No Way Americans Can Trust the Jury's Chauvin Verdict. This is after he was found guilty. And one of the things they were referring to was a piece that actually appeared in USA Today originally, I think, that one of the substitute jurors or who was on the panel to be brought in if needed started talking to a local news outlet and said, when it came to making a verdict, said, I did not want to go through rioting and destruction again, and I was concerned about people coming to my house if they were not happy with the verdict. Her point being, and that's the question some have said, was a jury extorted or frightened that they just couldn't deliver whatever thought they had? Now, I'm not saying, hear me out, I'm not saying the jurors are wrong. It was their decision. They heard every piece of evidence, and that's the way they went. But when Congresswoman Waters is out there over that weekend and the jury not been sequestered, do you not think that they heard directly or from others that she said, if we don't get guilty, 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 we're going to have more demonstrations and get basically more aggressive? Those weren't her exact words, but basically many were saying, is she saying that we're going to assault police and innocents going forward? She has since said that's not what she was doing. Well, either way, the Federalist just picked up the story. And then they had a piece that came out that independent fact checkers USA Today say information a post shared by the Federalist is missing context, could mislead people. So he added a notice. Then later they said that Facebook post is no longer available. They just flat took it down. Joy Pullman points out, and this is right on point. She said there was no fact-checking. There was just their determination and their belief. If they were checking the facts, the woman, the substitute juror, made that remark, and that was her concern. Does not mean or say the jury made a decision based on that, but that was one who spoke out. So anytime you're not walking and parroting the YouTube, Facebook, Google, big tech line, they'll either censor you, mock you, or all of that. Didn't I tell you earlier in an earlier segment about what China was doing, shutting off parts of the Oscar because they were talking about Hong Kong? And yeah, that's right. It was China. This time it's in this nation. As always, I appreciate you joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.